Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the GLP Investor and Analyst Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 14th of February, 2012. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Ms. Ambika Goel. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Huiling. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our third quarter 2012 earnings conference call. Our earnings release, presentation, and supplemental disclosure are all available on our website, www.glprop.com, under the Investor Relations tab. This evening, we'll hear from Jeff Schwartz, Chairman of the Executive Committee, who will provide an overview on GLP's third quarter results, then follow with Ming Mei, our CEO, who will further discuss our business, and end with Heather Cia, our CFO, who will review our financial results. We'll then close the call with a Q&A session where we invite both investors and analysts to ask questions. I will now hand the call over to Jeff.
Thank you, Ambika, and thanks all of you for joining our Valentine's Day call today. We had a great quarter with continued momentum across our business. We'd like to highlight four key points from the quarter. Revenue continues to grow at a healthy pace. Demand from customers continues to be robust, and we continue to deliver on our targets laid out to you, our investors. Our development deliveries are on pace, and we continue to strengthen our market-leading positions. And we have sufficient balance sheet capacity to prudently fund our growth initiatives. In the third quarter, we moved forward in building out our fund management platform. We closed on the $1.6 billion U.S. dollar acquisition of 15 high-quality modern logistic facilities in Japan. This is a 50-50 joint venture between GLP and China Investment Corporation, where GLP will serve as a managing member of the venture, providing asset management and property leasing services. We funded our equity requirement of 21.22 billion yen, or 273 million U.S. dollars, from less than a year of cash flow generated by our Japan operations. GLP will earn a 12% year one cash-on-cash yield before accounting for fees. This acquisition is a continuation of GLP's strategy to establish our fund management platform, which we initiated earlier this fiscal year with the Japan Development Joint Venture with CPP, or Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board. With our fund management platform firmly in place, we will look to expand our market presence in Japan. We will recycle capital within the market, allowing us to maintain or reduce our equity exposure to Japan while growing our business there over time. Turning to our results from the third quarter, group revenue was up 19%. Earnings momentum continues to accelerate in China, with revenue from China up 81% this quarter. Our development deliveries remain on track. We are on pace to meet our full-year development starts target of 1.66 million square meters, with 1.2 million square meters of development started thus far this year. Our existing portfolio continues to generate solid results. We have maintained our 91% occupancy level in China while completing 1 million square meters of developments this year. In Japan, occupancy is stable at 97%, and our balance sheet is strong with capacity to fund our growth initiatives. We have significant liquidity with 1.8 billion U.S. dollars of cash on our balance sheet. Our net debt to total assets is only 22%. Next, I'll turn it over to Ming, my partner, to further discuss how we have and will continue to build on our leading positions in what we consider to be the world's best logistics markets.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Demand for facilities continues to be strong. Leasing momentum increased 50% in China in the past 9 months, with 1.4 million square meters of new and expansion lease signed. We have also expanded our portfolio by 1.3 million square meters this year through acquisition. If you turn to slide 16 and 19 in our presentation for more details, we are achieving a 70% pre-lease on projects that did not be completed until March 2012. Our same-store rents have improved to 4.5%, up from 4% last quarter, and up from less than 3% last year. Customers catering to domestic consumption continue to be a significant portion of our leasing activity. China retail sales continue to grow at a healthier pace of 17-18%. As retail sales continue to grow, we see demand for space across retail sector, including e-commerce, consumer products, and auto parks. E-commerce now comprises 15% of our total lease space in China. During the quarter, we leased 112,000 square meters of space to Amazon, nearly double the space leased from us. 91,000 square meters of demand is driven by a new built-to-suit project we did for them in Tianjin. This is likely just the first phase of the project, and they're looking to potentially expand further. China already has the second largest population of online shoppers in the world with 145 million people, and this number is expected to see exponential growth. According to a report by Boston Consulting Group, China's online shopper population could more than double in the next 3 years. By 2015, China's e-commerce market is expected to reach 2 trillion RMB, surpass the size of the U.S. Again, we are well-positioned to benefit from this trend. GOP is very selective and cautious who we partner with in this e-commerce segment. As we know, some of these players, they will not be around 3-5 years from now. The consumer product sector is another segment where we are continuing to see strong demand. In the quarter, we leased more than 52,000 square meters in Tianjin alone to Hitachi. This facility is pre-leased to support the distribution activity for a leading global manufacturer of baby care and health products. Hitachi Transport now leases in excess of 400,000 square meters across our portfolio in China and Japan. The auto parts sector is another segment where we continue to see demand, especially for the after-sale service, spare parts. During the quarter, we leased additional space to Unipark, an auto parts 3PL company. This company is mainly supporting Jaguar and Land Rover in China, and now we lease more than five facilities across five cities in China to Unipark. As customer demand remains strong, GLP has a leasing pipeline of 4 million square meters of space, which is in the various stage of discussion with customers. During the quarter, we expanded to 4 new cities. There are Greater Hefei Area, Greater Jinan Area, Langfang outside of Beijing, and Xi'an. Hefei has a strong production base, especially for home appliance products, and is home to Unilever's headquarters and manufacturing base. We're entering this city with a built-to-suit facility for a home appliance manufacturer to serve the domestic consumption market. The Jinan region's GDP in 2010 was 531 million RMB, with a population of 11.6 million. Jinan is the capital of Shandong province and the third largest province in terms of GDP in China. Haier, a Chinese multinational consumer electronic company, is based in the Jinan region. Given the significant size of the economy and the strong domestic consumption, there's currently a strong demand for distribution space in this region. Langfang, outside of Beijing, is another market we entered in this quarter. Langfang GDP in 2010 was 133 billion RMB with a population of 4.4 million. In addition, Langfang is strategically located between Tianjin and Beijing, making it a fast-growing market to support the two major cities. Xi'an, the fourth city we entered in this quarter, is an indisputable regional hub in the northwest China region and home to one of the largest airport and railway hubs in China. The population is in excess of 8 million people. Domestic consumption is growing fast, driven by 14.4% GDP growth from 2006 to 2010. More than 80 of the world's Fortune 500 companies have a production base or a branch in Xi'an, including companies like ABB, Siemens, Coca-Cola, and Danone. We have also started 1.2 million square meters of development, putting us in a good position to meet our 1.66 million square meter guidance for the fiscal year 2012. In addition, we have acquired 1.6 million square meters of site area so far this year to replenish our land bank. During the quarter, we also closed on the transfer acquisition. This $150 million acquisition allowed us to meet our customers' transportation demand and lower the cost. Again, we added 900,000 square meters truck storage, basically serve as a land bank for our future. We basically see this as a land bank opportunity to be able to develop into logistics facilities in the future, but in the meanwhile, it gives us an 8% initial yield with a 4% escalation annually. In Japan, our business remains stable. We continue to see demand driven by customers looking to improve their distribution efficiencies. In addition, supply remains limited in the greater Tokyo and Osaka area. Occupancy in Japan portfolio is strong at 97%. 1.5% of the vacancy is tied to the GOP Shinsuna, where we are actively repositioning the asset to generate higher rent. 50 basis point of vacancy is currently under negotiation as GOP Narashino, which is expected to be fully released in the next couple of months at more than 15% higher than the previous rent level. In addition, this month, we also announced we are starting another development in our Japan Development Fund with CPP, the Canadian Pension Plan. GOP Shoja is a 79,000 square meter development, which is 39% pre-lease, and we have five times the indicative demand waiting in the pipeline, which again shows the strong demand in this area. With that, I'd like to turn over to Heather to review our financial results.
Thanks, Ming. I will review our financial results from the quarter. Please turn to slide 5 of our presentation to review our third quarter results. China growth continues to accelerate, with revenue growth up 81% in the quarter, pushing overall revenue for the group up 19%. EBIT growth, excluding revaluation, was up 12%, driven by China up 65%. Partner growth, excluding revaluation, was down 7% to US$68 million. The results were impacted by $12 million increase in net finance costs, primarily driven by $9 million unrealized FX loss. Slide 6 covers results for the 9 months of the fiscal year 2012. Revenue year-to-date was up 18%, driven by China up 75%. EBIT excluding revaluation was up 11%, and PATMI up 12% excluding revaluation. The gain in fair value of investment properties amounted to US$141 million and US$35 million for subsidiaries and joint control entities, respectively, with most of the gains in the second quarter. Slide 7 summarizes our quarterly and 9 months in U.S. dollars. The negative variances from EBIT and PATMI excluding valuation for the 9 month period was due to $500 million of revaluation gains recognized in the last fiscal year. On slide 8, we highlight our revenue and EBITDA results by segments in U.S. dollars. China revenue growth up 81%, with EBITDA up 65%, driven by development completions, stabilization, and revenue contribution from ACL acquisition for the quarter. Japan revenue was up 4.4%, and EBITDA was up 3.1%, driven by FX conversion, with the yen appreciating 6.8% year-on-year. On slide 9, we review our quarterly results in local currency terms, with China revenue up 73% and EBIT excluding revaluation up 57%. China growth is again driven by developments and acquisitions. Quarter-on-quarter, China revenue were up 19%, driven by completions and the lease-up of development properties. Japan revenues were down 2.5% in the third quarter, with the EBITDA down 3.7% due to the repositioning at the GLP Shinsuna and the vacancy in Narashino. GLP currently is in discussion with future customers to release the vacant space at higher rents. On slide 10 and 11, we have included 9 month comparisons for China and Japan in U.S. dollar and local currency terms. Turning to slide 12, our balance sheet remains healthy with $1.8 billion of cash on balance sheet, and leverage low at 22% net debt to gross asset value. The total assets increase was primarily due to completion of a transfer acquisition. We also recognized $5 million interest cost saving versus last quarter due to full quarter benefit of lower refinancing costs in both China and Japan. We continue to proactively address upcoming maturities and refinance $370 million US of debt during this quarter, lowering interest costs and extending out maturities by 3.4 years. We have detailed our debt maturity breakdown by group level and country on slide 13 and 14. In addition, in December and January, we further strengthened the company's balance sheet by issuing $750 million of Singapore dollar denominated perpetual bonds. For accounting purposes, these bonds are treated as equity. We have also provided additional disclosure on recent transactions on slides 23 to 26. During the quarter, we closed down the transfer and UP acquisition, as shown in the financial statement. We continue to look at other opportunities and acquisitions which meet our investment hurdles. With that, I will hand over to Hui Ling to open up for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from Tada Goyadi from Relegate. Please ask your question.
Hi, just have two questions. First of all, is on your development starts. I understand in the third quarter you only have 250,000 square meter development starts, you know, down significantly from the second quarter. Can you just give us a color why is that the case, and how do you see in the fourth quarter? So that's the first question. Second one is regarding your Japanese portfolio. I understand the both the revenue and the EBIT, excluding revaluations, on a year-to-date basis actually is down on the Japanese yen terms. Can you just give us a color on that as well? And the third one is on your China portfolio. I understand your third quarter 2012, your operating income margin suddenly jumped from 72% to 82%. Can you just give us a little bit of explanation on that? Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tada. Again, the development start, you asked why is it down to 250,000 square meter from the previous quarter. Again, we give guidance that we will be starting 1.66 million square meters. As you can see, the first two quarters, we overshoot ourselves. Basically, front-loaded some of the starts. So, again, this also has to do with sometimes the customer demand. As you can see, some of the facility that we're under construction is 70% pre-lease. So some of that could be due to negotiation as well. But again, we are committed to finish the financial year with 1.66 million square meter start. So we're on schedule, on track to deliver that. Again, the Japan, you mentioned about the slight drop in the EBIT and the local currency. Again, that's due to our active repositioning of a couple assets where the rent level in place were not what we wanted, and so we are replacing some of the tenants in those two facilities. And 2012, Heather can add more color, but basically part of it is that due to some of the local tax cost that's been in our favor from the Shanghai government.
Okay, thank you, Ming.
Your next question comes from Desmond Fong from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for the presentation. We're just looking at the changes in fair value of investment properties. Understand in the third quarter, there was a $28 million revaluation. I think that's from China, and Japan recorded a roughly $4 million revaluation loss. Maybe some color on what happened there. Was it cap rate expansion happening there and all?
Well, I think the question was that what contributed the fair value gain in China, and what was the contribution, the $4 million loss in Japan? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Thank you.
Heather, you want to add that?
Yeah. For the fair value changes this quarter, there's no change in assumption in terms of cap rate or discount rate. The China gain was primarily driven by the completion and stabilization. As you notice that this quarter we have about 280,000 new completion. That's obviously at completion, as we leased up, that's going to generate and we'll recognize the development profit on that. For Japan, was primarily driven by some of the capex that we incur to fix and upgrade the facilities. So that's just normal operating operations. For the size of Japan portfolio, that's not really material.
Yeah.
Right. So will the Japanese capex continue then for the full year?
I think this quarter there's a slight pickup, but I wouldn't call that a normal run rate. But for the size of portfolio, again, this is just not really material. It's really driven on, you know, when the timing-wise, when you go to with the customer, what will be a good time to do the touch-up and the fix. So I wouldn't call this normal run rate.
I would also like to add is that on our China portfolio, on the revaluation, in the past, what we've been doing is that every other quarter we outsource to external valuation companies, and then every other quarter we just do internal update. So this most recent quarter we did an internal update, and when we do internal update, we tend to be more conservative with assumptions. So from now on, going forward, I believe we'll be outsourcing all valuation to external parties every quarter. So there might be some slight pickup in the valuation gains in the next quarter that we left behind this quarter.
Hi, this is Lei Hong. Can I just double check on the Japan capex? How much is it?
I think the change on valuation for Japan, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think about $4 or $5 million range. If you want the exact amount, we can get back to you later.
We'll get back to you
with
that.
Relatively small amount.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Thanks so much,
guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Donald Chua from CIMB. Please ask your question.
Hi, Donald here. Just a couple of questions on the numbers. On looking at the revenues, if you strip out the Forex movements or the impact of Forex, what sort of growth will you be looking at on a group level? That's one. On the EBIT, China EBIT has risen close to 65% year on year. I just want to know how much is due to completions and how much is due to organic growth in terms of rental upside from renewals. That's two. Thirdly, on the ACL portfolio, for those assets that have been completed, what sort of yield on costs are you looking at? Is it north of 7.5% or to 8% that you've been guiding? Thanks.
Well, thanks, Donald. Maybe I can just answer your most recent one on yield. Typically, we develop to a minimum of 8.5% to 9% initial yield on all projects, and same thing for our airport project in Beijing, with the exception that in the Beijing airport, we are able to get close to 8% annual escalation, which is due to the monopoly position we have in the Beijing airport. Again, for the EBIT breakdown, unfortunately, due to Singapore SGX regulations, we can only discuss numbers what we disclose in the SGX website. So maybe Ambik, you can help follow up.
Yeah, I can follow up. I just want to follow up with two things. On China, on a local currency basis, revenues were up 73.2%, and EBIT ex revals was up 57%. In Japan, on a JPY basis, revenues were down 2.5%, and EBIT ex revals was down 3.7%.
So in China, actually, the FX impact on revenue and income was not significant. Japan obviously driven by translation. The translation will impact both income as well as expense.
Sure, okay, thank you. Just one last thing. Is it possible to review the rents for the ACL on those that have recently been completed?
I think Enrique can follow up on an individual basis on that. But typically on the air, I can just give rough guidelines. For a facility located next to the runway, typically they are in the 250 to 3 RMB ranges, which is typically 2.5 to 3 times higher than a normal standard warehouse facility located outside the airport.
The most interesting thing about that,
yeah,
if you talk about how under-rented they are, and not to say that we're going to take this to the levels that we're talking about, but if you compare it, it's the same customer. You know, Beijing International Airport is now the second largest passenger airport in the world, and as you know, the bulk of air cargo travels in the belly of passenger planes, not on dedicated cargo craft. That being said, if you compare rents at Beijing International Airport within our portfolio, within the ACL portfolio that we acquired, and we're raising rents, as Ming said, at about an 8% per annum rate. But if you look at the rents in place relative to other major airports around the world, to make it very, very simple, the rents in RMB in Beijing are equal to the rents in pounds at Heathrow. So we have a long way from a global standard in rents, and the rents at Heathrow are about equal to those at Narita and somewhere in the same vicinity of rents at LAX or JFK. So the major airports in the world, Beijing is significantly under-rented. And it's the same customer base. It's the Panalpinas, it's the DHLs, it's the FedExes of the world.
Great, thanks.
Your next question comes from Kong Yu Ting from Aviva Investors. Please ask your question.
Hi, I just have one quick question. I've heard that the recent trend for Japan logistics assets, multi-tenanted ones, the tenants are looking for shorter leases, like 3 to 5 years instead of the normal 10-year leases that we've been seeing. Is that something you observe as well?
To date, we have not seen that. And, you know, the new developments that we started in our joint venture with CPP, we've seen longer tenured leases, continue to see that.
You may see, like, isolated instance, one or two, but that's more company-specific.
Right. I've heard that it's like, the trend going forward, but you guys are not seeing it.
We haven't seen that.
Okay.
You may see that in less efficient facilities or facilities that don't have the earthquake resistant technologies, because people are going to shift towards those buildings, which fortunately a significant portion of our portfolio, larger than anyone else's, does have seismic isolation technology, and everything we're building does have seismic isolation technology.
Okay then, thank you.
Your next question comes from Derek Low from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi, just wanted to check on Japan. There was an asset that was repositioned. If you strip that out, what kind of rental change will we see in Japan in yen?
The driver of the drop in rents quarter over quarter that you saw in the Japan portfolio was strictly driven to that asset. In the quarter, the revenue impact of Shinsuno was $2 million USD.
And Shinsuno, when we talk about repositioning it, Shinsuno is a true infill location. It is very close to Odaiba, very infill in its location. It's a phenomenal location that quite frankly was being underutilized by the previous customer, and so by repositioning it, by retrofitting the building, by bringing it up to a LEED standard, which we're doing right now, we expect to get significantly higher rents and create value for our shareholders.
Okay. And are there any more repositioning for the rest of the portfolio?
Hopefully. We continue to look at that, but this is an opportunity to create significant value.
Okay. The other question I have is actually on the, just look at slide 5. PATMI excluding revaluation decreased by 7.1% to 68 million. The impact is unrealized foreign exchange losses on JPY assets. I mean, can you just explain this? I mean, yen strengthened, right, during the quarter. So, yeah.
No, actually, I guess two steps. The first, it was driven by a net finance cost. So that's about 12 million. If you look at the 3 months, this quarter versus last year, the net finance cost this quarter was 29 million, and last year was 17 million. So that's the big change. The major driver of that change was the foreign exchange unrealized FX loss. What happened is when we financed our Japan operation, we extend loans to Japan. So this is for a US dollar functional currency company and have a yen receivable as an asset. So every time yen weakens, the asset value will reduce, we recognize that loss. However, when the yen gets stronger, then we recognize as gain. So just pure follow accounting treatment. Again, this is unrealized. So as yen move, obviously that will change. So that's the driver for FX unrealized loss.
Oh, I see. So I mean, each quarter we're gonna see, as long as yen significantly strengthens, we're gonna see this impact.
Well, yen gets stronger, actually, we have a benefit, actually recognize gain. When yen weakens, then we have a loss. The company we're trying to do is looking at other ways to potentially do a natural hedge. For example, borrowing yen-denominated loan, that naturally will hedge, serve as a natural hedge from FX standpoint. So we're looking at other ways to manage that.
The yen actually devalued slightly versus the dollar in the third quarter.
Right.
It wasn't a major movement.
No, actually this is 1%.
1%, but 1% on $450 million is a $4.5 million loss.
Right.
On unrealized loss, so it's not, it's accounting treatment only.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Joy Wang from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, just a quick one from me. We've seen some conversion into land bank pickup in the recent quarter. Are we going to see this momentum continue into fourth quarter and next year? It would be good if there's any guidance. Also, could you give us a guidance on the development starts for 2012, fiscal year 2013? Thanks.
Thanks, Joy. I think we feel comfortable growing our start 25% from our current guidance for this financial year, 1.66 million. So I think around the neighborhood of 2 million square meters, we feel comfortable, assuming the what we're seeing continue to be constant. And then again, we always continue to maintain a disciplined approach on land bank to support our development starts, but not taking on too much. Actually, you see more and more. A lot of times, we are taking land straight from the government and then go right into production instead of putting a land bank. So we try to matching those time as much as possible. But again, our goal is to maintain a healthy land position to make sure that we meet our customer demands. As you can see, we have a pipeline of 4 million square meters of customer demands at different stages of the conversation. So we want to make sure that we meet these customer demands.
Thank you. And just one follow-up. I've seen some recent reports on tax changes for warehouse assets in China. Has that something been formalized? Is there an impact on GLP?
The government wants to encourage domestic consumption, so they are looking for ways to reduce the burden for logistic companies. And there's been a couple things that are favorable to the industry that have been issued recently. One is that instead of going to a business tax, they are going to a VAT approach for logistic related companies. So overall tax should be reduced for the industry. And the second thing is real estate tax, land use tax, expected that will be reduced as well. There's been it's been lobbied by the industry, and there's been a circular just been released by the head of tax and from Beijing, basically looking into reducing land use tax and property tax. So I think those will be favorable for us.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Michael Lin from UBS. Please ask your question.
Hi, Ming. Hi, Jeff. On page 22 of your presentation, you've got a lease expiry profile. Mm-hmm. And in FY13, which starts from March, you've got about 22% of leases up for renewal in China, about 19% in Japan. If you had to market to market today, what kind of uplift to market rents are we likely to see for this portfolio?
I think in Japan, I think you know we like to see an annual 1%,
1 to 2,
1 to 2% in especially in the core market like Tokyo and Osaka, and then in China I think on average we're seeing you know already even in place rent already we're seeing 4.5% across the portfolio. That's with in place rent and in place contract, and some of the markets. Some market like Beijing and Shanghai, we're seeing around 6%. For the renewals, we typically can see anywhere from 10 to 15% bump mark to market, especially in core markets like Shanghai and Beijing, where there's a very constraint on supply. We've seen some instances where we mark up 20% from the previous lease.
Okay, and I assume you're already starting to talk to these tenants on renewals.
Yes, actually, in some of these strong core markets, the tenants are more more concerned about renewal than we are.
Great, and another question on your JV with Canada Pension. We've seen quite good momentum in terms of the greenfield projects that have come through. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a bit about where you see some of the opportunities coming in Japan? I believe for the two assets, they were quite unique in the way that you acquired the land. So going forward, is that the way you would continue to acquire land bank?
I'm not sure they were unique. We've done things like that before and continue to. We've bought sites where we demolished buildings. We've bought sites that were consolidated by, you know, and aggregated like Masato before. We have a dedicated team. The reason that returns are so high in Japan is it's difficult to acquire good sites. We have a dedicated team. We have a team that's been doing it, a team that's been together for the better part of, 9-10 years now. And, you know, quite frankly, they have a lot of relationships and they've been working on a lot of sites for a long period of time. So expect to see similar things in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Tony Dalwell from Daiwa. Please ask your question.
Just a couple. Firstly, in terms of just the slip in vacancy in the Japan portfolio, can you just give a bit more color in terms of the GLP Narashino, where there's new vacancy, and normally, based on your track record, it's 99%, so I'm just trying to get a handle as to where that vacancy is coming from. That's question one. And then a couple of detailed questions. I'm just questioning in terms of how much interest was capitalized on development property for the third quarter, and then secondly, in your associate line, how much fair value was actually attributable? How much was attributable to a fair value gain?
Well, there's the two assets, the Shinsuna, again, this is we reactively repositioned these two assets. The total size was 47,000 square meters, and currently we have decided not to renew with one of the major customers that gave back 37,000 square meters facility. And again, we expect to renew this at a much higher rent. Narashimo total size is 23,000 square meters, and 12,000 square meter is vacant. Basically, that make up about 0.5% of the total current vacancy. And again, we expect some of these leases, like points like one lease we already signed 4,000 square meters. We generate 22% higher rent than the previous one and has a 5-year lease signed. And 7,000 square meter we just signed at a 13% higher with higher than the previous lease. So again, we are proactively to reposition these assets because some of the customers that were in the facility could not meet the rent that we think is fair for this area.
Thanks. Just on those other questions, perhaps. Just interest capitalized on development property and the fair value gain that was reported at the associate line.
Okay, on the capitalized interest, normally during the construction phase, then we'll capitalize the cost incurred or imputed cost that the group allocated to the project. So that's just general policy. In Japan, as soon as we start development, that will apply. China obviously applies the same policy. Your second question was on fair market value gain in the joint control entities.
Correct.
That was your question. In the joint control entities, actually, we split out the operating result as well as the gain of fair market value. I think the change, obviously driven by, for this quarter, as soon as we complete the facilities in the JCEs, and also we lease up those facilities, then we'll recognize the gain on that development. So that's just the same methodology apply to subsidiaries as well as the joint control entities.
And that gain is about $5 million in the quarter.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our question and answer session. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Jeff Schwartz for closing remarks.
Thank you. I just want to make four comments. One, our China growth remains strong, driven by domestic consumption. Revenue was up 81% in China in the third quarter of our fiscal year 2012. Our business in Japan remains very stable and very profitable. We're building a strong investment management platform with the best-in-class global investors in GIC, CIC, and CPP, and we operate only in what we consider to be the best logistics markets globally, and we have market leadership positions in each of them. With that, we want to thank you. Sorry to take up time on your Valentine's Day, but we appreciate your time, and thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect.